Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. We'll be reading two verses, Revelation 12, verses 7 and 8, very last book of the Bible, Revelation 12. I'll begin verse number 7, if you'll join with me on verse number 8. If you found Revelation 12, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Revelation chapter 12, beginning verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And let's pray this morning. Again, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to open up your good book this morning. We pray that you be with the man of God this morning as he preaches, give him unction from on high. Lord, I pray you fill this place with your Holy Spirit power, that we listen, and Lord, I pray that you bless the special before the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Song. I love it. Thank you so much for that good song this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number... That's all right, sweetheart. They only cost a couple $1,000s each. That's all right. You take it out of your birthday money that the lady people gave you, man. So, that's all right. Having a little fun with you this morning. Okay. I want to speak this morning. I want you to see verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. I want to speak on the longest war. There was a book written back in 1959, and I don't remember the author's name, called The Longest Day. It was about D-Day. What is that, June 6, 1940, help me, too? 44, sorry, 44. And I think they ended up making a Hollywood movie out of it. John Wayne, I think, starred in The Longest Day. I haven't seen it. But anyway, I want to talk about the longest war. You see there in verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Let's pray together. We'll get into the Scripture here. Our Father, we are thankful today for the privilege to have your book. Pray that you'll speak to our hearts from it. I pray the message, Lord, will be not only informative, but practically helpful to every person in this room. And God, that it will also speak to our hearts exactly where we are in our relationship with you right now. Help me, I pray, to have your Spirit's touch, unction, anointing, because without you we can do nothing. I recognize that and freely admit it, and humbly ask you to help me today so that all of us can be edified here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray it, and amen. As a boy, I began a paper route when I was 10 years of age, delivering papers, the Atlanta Journal in particular. In Atlanta in those days, there were two daily papers, 6 days a week, and then they combined on Sunday for one edition. The Atlanta Constitution was delivered in the morning. The Atlanta Journal was delivered in the late afternoon, early evening. And I had a paper out delivering the Atlanta Journal Monday through Saturday and then delivering the joint paper on Sunday morning. I can remember as a boy, 10 years of age, 1967, 1968. I was a paper boy for a couple of years, 1969. I can remember that in just about every issue on the front page of the Atlanta Journal during that two-year time period, there was at least one article, and many times it was the headline article about the Vietnam War, because it was in its heyday back then. And Dad would often watch the evening news if he got home in time from work, and every night, what was the old two guys, Chet and David, good night, David, good night, Chet. One was in New York City, one was in Washington, D.C. But the Vietnam War was the lead story almost every night that I saw the evening news. I can remember that vividly as a boy. And that war lasted a long time. You know, that war lasted through four presidential administrations. Started in Kennedy's, went through Lyndon Johnson's, Nixon's first administration, and into his second administration before it was ended. Okay, it was a long, long war. It cost a lot of dollars, millions of dollars. Thousands of lives were lost over there. And you know what, really, folks, you can say the same thing about the war on terror that this country's been engaged in since 9/11, I guess, or even before that. 1993, they bombed the World Trade Center the first time in the basement. And you remember that. I think it was 93. I may be wrong on my date. But then in 01, of course, we're all familiar with that. And we've been in Afghanistan. We've been in Iraq. Covert battles in Pakistan and Syria and on and on. And that war has spanned two presidential administrations. It's of course, George W. Bush's first one, and then, his first and second, I believe. And yeah, first and second, and then into Obama's first and second administration as well. So again, a lot of lives lost, a lot of money spent for wars that lasted a long, long time. And I'm not preaching about that, it was just by way of introduction. There is a war that has lasted longer than both of those put together. In fact, there is a war that has lasted longer than any war that's ever taken place on planet Earth. You can add them all up, not just those involving America, but involving countries and nations around the globe. You can add all of those up, and the war that I'm going to preach about this morning has lasted longer than all of those. It was a war, it is a war, that has been in existence since before, I believe, the creation of man. It is the conflict between good and evil, between right and wrong, between holy and unholy. Now, in our text here in Revelation chapter 12, you understand, let me give you the setting. John the Apostle, he's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, okay? The authorities thought, that, you talk about something backfiring. They thought, let's separate him from the people that he has an influence over and silence him by putting him on this island. And what they did, in essence, was separate him unto God so that God could give him the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last book in the Bible. And brother, that writing, what John saw and recorded from all that he was allowed to see, has influenced people and will continue to influence people through the time to come. You talk about something backfiring, that is worse than Haman's gallows. Okay, that he built them for Mordecai. Mordecai, he ended up getting hung on them himself. That's worse, because this is a great book, the last book in our Bible. And by the time we get to chapter 12, The tribulation is well underway, okay? The judgments of God have begun to fall on those left behind after the rapture. Now, you remember at the close of chapter 3, that's the rapture, beginning of chapter 4. Now, we're into chapter 12. So you get to chapter 6 and the detailed account of the judgments of God are starting to fall on the people who are left behind in that horrible time that we know as the tribulation. Horrible judgment. Judgments of destruction and death taking place on planet Earth in unprecedented fashion. Unprecedented numbers of people dying in those judgments. Absolute chaos on planet Earth. And we've been on Wednesday nights, we've been looking at Revelation 13. We are one chapter in front of the Antichrist rising up and taking his seat, his position, and his authority. That happens in chapter 13. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night. But my thought today is this. John is allowed to see into heaven. Now, I don't know if this is the second heaven, the atmospheric heaven, or if this is the third heaven. I didn't get into this, that much detailed study on it because that's not my emphasis here today. My emphasis, the emphasis of my message is this. John saw that there was war in heaven. He saw war. He was allowed with his natural eyes to look into the world of the supernatural. He was allowed to see the spirit world with his natural eyes. And when he was allowed this opportunity, the Bible says that he saw war. And he saw a great battle. And in this battle, he saw two opponents. He saw Michael and he saw the dragon. And we know from other verses in Revelation chapter 12 that the dragon is Satan. That's revealed down in verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So he saw Michael and he saw Satan. And he saw their respective angels engaged in battle. And friend, it wasn't just a battle. John said it was a war. A war that has been in existence for a long, long time. And I want to say three or four things about the longest war this morning. And just some things that many of you have already heard and know. Maybe something some people haven't thought about. But let me talk first of all this morning. I want to say number one about the prophecy of the war. The prophecy of the war. Hold your finger here in Revelation 12 and turn all the way back to the opening book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. So you're Revelation chapter 12 and you're going all the way back to the opening book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, okay? So we go from the end back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, most of you understand the setting of Genesis chapter 3, okay? The scene here is the Garden of Eden. It's a sad day. It is a sad time. Adam and Eve have sinned against God. Satan came in the form of the serpent. We just saw that in Revelation 12. He came in the form of the serpent, the old dragon, same person, same creature. And he tempted Adam and Eve on this day, and they fell. And now they're apart from God, and God has come to rescue his fallen creation, Adam and Eve. Now, he turns to the devil, he turns to the serpent in verse number 14. He begins to speak to him and says, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Let me ask you a question. You ever seen a snake walking upright? Now, I know a cobra can raise itself upright. I understand that. But when you see a snake, where is he? He's on the ground. He's on his belly. He's crawling. He's eating the dust of the earth. You know why he's doing that? Because of the curse that God put on him. Okay? Because we don't believe that the serpent was crawling in those days. We believe that the serpent was a beautiful creation. Now, the only kind of good snake, in my opinion now, is a dead snake. Okay? But you got to admit, some of those snakes they're beautiful. Okay? But they're fallen. They're cursed creatures. And they go on there. When you see a snake crawling on his belly, that says to you, there's a God in heaven. That says to you, there's a God in heaven. Now, I want you to look at verse 15, because he continues on here. And then he says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now God said to this serpent, "I'm going to curse you. You're cursed. You're going to go on your belly the rest of your days. And I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed, a reference to the children of the devil and the Son of God. Enmity, a broader reference to good and evil, right and wrong, holy and unholy. There's going to be enmity. What does the word mean? It means the quality of being an enemy. The opposite of friendship. Watch this. A fixed or rooted hatred. That is what there is between right and wrong, good and evil, holy and unholy. A fixed or rooted hatred. The opposite of friendship. What's God saying here? God is saying from this point forward, there is going to be enmity. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be fixed hatred, rooted hatred, and the opposite of friendship between right and wrong, good and evil, holy and unholy. There's going to be enmity. Enmity. There's going to be war. There's going to be chaos between right and wrong, good and evil, holy and unholy. Now listen, Michael, we read about him. Let's flip back to Revelation chapter 12 now. You read about Michael there in verse number 7. There was war in heaven. Michael. Michael was one of the three archangels. And he was exalted as the warrior angel. And because of that, he leads, now watch this, he leads the conflict for Jesus. He leads in this war for right. He leads in this war for good. He leads in this war for that which is holy. Satan was equal to Michael. He was another archangel. And when he fell, he became the face, the embodiment, the leader, if you will, in this war for evil, for wrong, and for that which is unholy. Now, I could say more this morning about those two people, those two creatures, those two angels, but my emphasis is not them. My emphasis today is the war. God talked about it. He prophesied it back in... I'm going somewhere with all this. He prophesied it back in Genesis chapter 3, the beginning book of the Bible. And then in Revelation chapter 12, now watch it, John is allowed to see into the future. Folks, Revelation 12 hasn't happened yet. What John saw as far as the devil being cast out of heaven, that hasn't happened yet. So that means when John saw it in 96, 94 A.D., it was still in the future, and he saw this war in heaven, this war that started back in Genesis chapter 3. Now, it's 4,100 years. 4,100 years have passed, and John sees into heaven, and the war is still engaged. And what he's talking about here isn't going to happen until the future. And it's been about 2,000 years since John saw this. We're talking about a war that's been in existence for 6,000 years. And it's going to stay on until the rest of the events in Revelation chapter, and finally, Revelation chapter 19 come to pass. We're talking about a long, long war. A war of at least 6,000 years right now. Beginning from the Garden of Eden until the time of the Revelation when John saw it in the future. And it's still going on right now. That's a long time period, friend. And I want you to see that God talked about it in the very beginning book of the Bible. John saw it in the last book of the Bible. That war is ongoing. Are you with me this morning? That's more just FYI. That's more just foundational for what I want to say. The prophecy of the war. All the way back in Genesis 3, and it's still ongoing. Now, this is what I want to dig into this morning. And then the third point as well. I want to talk about the practicality of the war. The practicality of it. You say, okay, Pastor, I understand there's a war in heaven. But what does that mean for us now? I understand it's been going on for 6,000 years. But what does that do for us? What does that do for you and me in the building this morning? Well, folks, here it is. The practical side of this for you and me is for us to understand that many times this war is waged involving people. The war is waged involving human beings. The war is waged involving people like you and people like me. The war between good and evil. Between right and wrong, holy and unholy, takes its toll on human beings. I want to tell you, Christian friend, if you're saved this morning, if you didn't know this, let me be clear with you this morning. When you got saved, you entered into a war, a conflict, a battle. This war has been going on for 6,000 years and it won't stop until Revelation chapter 19, and then there's another one after that. That's why the songwriter wrote these words, "The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near, the Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last." This is war. The Christian life is war. The Christian life is battle. We have an enemy, a very real enemy. Michael and his angels are at war against the dragon, Satan, and his angels. John saw it. God prophesied it. It takes its toll on humanity. Sometimes the war is implemented and carried out in the lives of people. Let me just read to you this morning without you turning, because I'm going to be there and gone. I've written them down so we didn't have to waste the time turning. But so many times Paul referred to this warfare in the New Testament. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." 2 Corinthians 12:7. "There was given to me," Paul said, "a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." Ephesians 4:27. "Neither give place to the devil." Ephesians 6:11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." 1 Thessalonians 2:18. "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," listen, "but Satan hindered us." 1 Timothy 3:6, talking about pastors. The pastor should not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And verse 7, "lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." 1 Timothy 5:15, "for some are already turned aside after Satan." 2 Timothy 2:26, "that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." James 4:7, "submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." 1 Peter 5:8, "be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And I remind you of what Jesus said to Peter. "Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift you as wheat." Friend, that's all New Testament. Over and over and over, the New Testament refers to the enemy that we are engaged in this war with. And the practicality of this war is fought out in my life, and it's fought out in your life. We're in a war against the dragon and his angels. A war. Do you understand that? It's a fight. It's a battle. Good versus evil. Right versus wrong. Holy versus unholy. Michael and his angels versus the dragon, Satan, and his angels. I'm talking about the practicality of the war is played out in our lives. Number three this morning, I want to talk for a little bit about this. The progress of the war. The progress of the war. Now listen carefully. In war, there are victories and defeats. Even if you come out the winner, along the way, you're going to suffer a defeat. There's wins and losses. And in the war that you and I are engaged in, the same is true. And I want to say to you people this morning, listen carefully, people that I love, people I hope this message will help. Listen very carefully. Defeat today does not mean defeat tomorrow. Defeat this week does not mean defeat next week. Defeat this month does not mean defeat next month. Because in a war, there are victories and there are defeats. There are wins And there are losses. And I want to say also, Christian, that a win today does not guarantee a win tomorrow. A victory today or this week does not guarantee a victory this week. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm simply saying, folks, that the practicality of this war is carried out in our lives. And in the progress of a war, you have wins and losses. In the progress of a war, you have victories and defeats. My wife and I were talking a little bit this morning early. I get up early, but she's been waking up a little earlier. And we were engaged in some conversation. She's reading a book right now that Brother Oswardy actually sent me about William Carey's wife. And she had a difficult time. And you know, we were talking about William Carey and men like him, men that have made an impact, men about whom books have been written, men that you and I put on this pedestal way up here. And you know, I think it was Brother Larry Brown that said, death makes a saint out of everybody. And you know, we look at these men like they were these bionic, super... It's an inflated image. Like they never had a difficulty, they never had a defeat, they never had a loss in life. That's simply not true. The great men suffer defeats. The great men, the great women suffer losses. It's war. You don't win every battle. You want to, you should try to, but you don't win every battle. A loss today does not mean a loss tomorrow. And a victory today does not guarantee a victory tomorrow. We've got to walk circumspect. We've got to be careful. We've got to be on guard. Remember the Old Testament story of Joshua and the children of Israel in the land of Canaan? You know, and there sits Jericho. And they go in that formidable city, the walls around there, and they march around it. And the walls fall down without ever firing a shot. God knocks the walls down. And boy, they rejoiced. What a victory. What a win for the children of Israel. And the very next battle, they go to little old Ai. They take it for granted. They don't take precaution. They're not on guard. They take it casually. And 36 men die. And the nation of Israel suffers a defeat in the battle at Ai. A defeat today does not guarantee a defeat tomorrow, and a win today does not guarantee a win tomorrow. You and I have got to walk circumspect, friend, because war has victories and defeats. War has wins and losses. Let me say to you, if you've been in a time of loss recently, get yourself to God. Get the Holy Ghost working in your life again. Confess what you need to confess. Ask God to forgive you. Get back in that book. Look up to heaven and lift your eyes, friend. The captain of your salvation stands ready to forgive and help and lead and direct. And just because you suffered a defeat today does not mean you'll suffer a defeat tomorrow. You don't have to. Don't have to. And to say, if you're in a time of victory right now, can I just ask you to be careful? Don't let Satan lull you to sleep with the intoxication of victory. The aura of victory. Man, look at how good it's going. We go to sleep. We get careful. We're down to defeat before you know it. This is a war. Be vigilant. Put on the whole armor of God every day, because in a war, there are victories and defeats. Let me say something else about the progress of the war. You know this is true. Listen carefully. In a war, there are prisoners taken and there are prisoners freed. There are prisoners taken and there are prisoners freed. I want to read for you again. Listen very carefully to this verse. 2 Timothy 2:26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He's talking about saved people. He's talking about people who are born again. And yet they are taken captive, if you will, by Satan at his will. That's what happens in war. Prisoners of war are taken. You and I have witnessed that. If we've been saved for any length of time at all, you've seen people, saved people, taken captive by the enemy. Because, you know, even though we say, oh, amen, you know, we understand 1 Peter 5:8, there's a roaring lion, he walking, amen, that's right, Bible, but we don't believe it. And he does. He takes prisoners of war. I'm not talking about here suffering a defeat one day or a defeat one week. I'm talking about he takes prisoners and they lose out. They lose time living for Jesus Christ for months. For years. Sometimes it's your children. Let's be honest. See a kid go astray, you know, right away we were thinking, well, they just never were saved. Maybe they're not. But they could be saved and a prisoner of war. A prisoner of war could be a parent. Could be a spouse. A spouse used to sit with you in church. A spouse used to come to church with you. A spouse used to get up on Sunday morning, get dressed, bring the Bible, jump in the car, and ride to church with the family. But now that spouse sits at home and you're here this morning. Prisoner of war. Are you listening this morning? Because in warfare there are prisoners that are taken. Prisoners of war. Oh, but thank God. Not only are there prisoners taken in war, there are prisoners freed in war. And great rescue attempts have been made down through time by armies going after their own, leaving nobody behind. And I want to tell you something, friend. God, in His grace, can give repentance to a humble person who is a prisoner of war. And if they will receive His grace in humility, the Bible says they can be recovered from the snare of the devil. I'm thankful that if they're a prisoner of war today, that doesn't mean they'll be a prisoner of war in the future. God's grace can get them free. Now they got to receive it. They got to take it. They got to humbly receive it. But don't give up praying for them. Don't give up loving them. Don't give up on that person. You look at, you're thinking, sitting there thinking, boy, that's what happened to so and so. That's what happened to my friend. That's what happened to my brother. That's what happened to my son, my daughter, my dad, my mom, my spouse. That's what happened to my grandpa. He's a prisoner of war. He was living for God, but a battle ensued and the enemy came and took him captive and he did some bad things. Boom! And now he's been a prisoner of war and out of the battle for Christ for so long. Don't give up on that person. If the day comes when they humbly receive the repentance that God visits them with, they can be freed from the devil. Freed from those that are taken captive at His will. As if there, in war, there are victories and defeats. In war, there are prisoners taken and prisoners freed. Let me say this today. In war, there are casualties and there are survivors. That's war, isn't it? Casualties and survivors. What are you saying, Pastor? Unfortunately, there are those who get captured and never recover. They never recover. They live and die out of fellowship with God. Saved, but out of fellowship. Out of service. Out of usefulness for God. Out of being a witness. Casualties. I don't like it. You don't like it. But that's war. And I don't know who were the men in this church who served in combat. Most of the people in this church who were involved in the military did not serve in combat. But a few did. And when you go into combat, there are casualties. It happens. And that happens in this war as well. People who get captured and never recover live and die out of fellowship with God. But then, there are survivors who, like Paul, come to the end of their life and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, friend, there are those who survive the conflict, survive the battle, and march into heaven victorious, ready to receive a crown of righteousness. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to go. I want to be a survivor. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a prisoner. I have defeats. I have losses. That's war. But I don't want to be taken by Him at His will from a life of usefulness and then just be out of usefulness the rest of my days and finish up a casualty. I don't want that. I want to be a survivor, the progress of the war. You say, Pastor, what is the key in this? How do you get through the battle and be a survivor? You know, I think it's summed up in one of the verses that I read previously. Let me read it to you again. James 4:7. Now listen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, do not miss the order of that verse. That verse has two sentences in it. Two complete thoughts. First sentence, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Period. Next sentence, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Pastor. I want to be a survivor. I want to be like Paul and come to the end of my life. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to be a survivor. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to resist him and I'm going to get the victory. You missed the verse. Can I tell you this morning, friend, the devil's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. He's not shaking in his boots because I'm Terry Angel and you're so-and-so. And we've been saved for this many years. And we got a King James Bible. We go to Independent Fundamental Baptist Preaching. Bible, Baptist. You know what kind of church we are. Okay, all right, I get it. You know. He's not, scares me to death. No! No, he's not scared. He's not scared of me. He's not scared of you. I'm going to tell you, there's somebody who makes him quake in his boots. And that's because he's only powerful and God is all powerful. That verse starts by saying, submit yourselves therefore to God. The very first step in being a survivor is starting every day surrendered to live for God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. God, today, I wouldn't worry about tomorrow. I wouldn't worry about next week or the next month or the next year. I'd be concerned with today. God, as I start today, I want to live for You. I want to honor You. I want to obey You. I want to please You. I don't want to fall prey to the devil. Please, God, be with me today. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Get God on you. Get God with you, friend, in a real way. Because the devil is not afraid of me and you by ourselves. But with God, we are a majority every time. Every time. The progress of the war. The progress of the war. I got to finish. And I only have a couple of minutes. But let me just say this morning. The prevailer in the war. The prevailer in the war. Look at verse number 8. You're right there in Revelation chapter 12. John saw this war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. This great conflict. The Bible says, and prevailed not. That's talking about Satan. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. And guess what? In Revelation chapter 19, the old devil's on planet earth gathering up the forces of evil to come against Israel and Jesus Christ. But the Lord comes out of heaven on a white horse and He puts Satan down by the word of His mouth. Wouldn't you like to know what He's going to say? What do you think He's going to say? I don't know. Be done. You're finished. It's over. I don't know. I know one thing. With the word of His mouth, He's going to put an end to that conflict. And Jesus is going to prevail in this war. I'm simply saying this morning, folks, this is the longest war. It's the longest war. The prophecy about the war started all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. It's ongoing, still ongoing to this day. Will be ongoing until Revelation chapter 19. The practicality of this war is this. It's not just fought in heaven. It's fought on heaven and earth. It's fought using you and me. We are involved in it. It's unbelievable. I was talking to a man in the church this week. He had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. He's talking about Christianity. He looked at me and he said, you know what? This is war. I said, don't even say anything else. Just come tomorrow. Come on Sunday morning. You'll hear. It's war. The practicality of this battle, this war, it involves you and me. The progress of the war. There's going to be victories and defeats. There's going to be prisoners taken, but praise God, prisoners can be freed. And there are casualties and survivors. And the key is submitting yourself to God and starting every day with God on you. Because the devil cannot stand up against Him. And the prevailer in this war in the end is the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that song from time to time. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on. That's not just a happy song. That's a reality. We're on the winning side with Jesus Christ. And let me say this today. If you're not saved, I think you're involved in this war, but you're involved in it in a completely different way. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you've not been born into God's family, the most important thing for you before you understand anything about a war in place is to understand that Jesus Christ came by way of Bethlehem's manger and He left by way of an old rugged cross and an empty tomb to provide salvation for you. And you ought to come and trust Christ and be saved. And if you are saved, you're in a war. This is war. Now, listen, I don't live my life looking over my shoulder, looking for a devil under every rock, every bad circumstance that takes place, I see the devil in it. I don't live like that. I don't live life that way. I live life looking up, happy in the Lord. But I don't want to be, I do not want to be casual and become a casualty. I do not want that. I don't want that for you. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. Heavenly Father, thank you for what your word teaches us. Your book is so unbelievable. It teaches us so much about life. And help us, I pray, God, to submit ourselves to you. Start every day with you. And through your strength, resist the devil. Through your power, resist Satan. Help us to understand this is a war. We don't have to live with a cloud over our heads, ugly-hearted, bad-spirited. We can live happy and joyful in God and in grace and salvation and mercy and love. But Lord, nonetheless, this is a war. Help us to be survivors. Please, speak to the hearts of ones that we loved who've been taken as prisoners. Lord, bless people today who've had a recent defeat. Help them to know that doesn't mean defeat tomorrow. Help people today who've had a recent victory to understand that doesn't guarantee victory tomorrow. Help us to be careful. Work in the invitation. Speak to our hearts, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say, Pastor, somewhere along the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart on this matter. God reminded me of something, taught me something, made something very personal to me that you said from the pulpit. God made it personal to me. Pray for me. Throughout the message this morning, God spoke to me. Would you raise your hand today? Just slip it up. Let me have prayer for you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Take your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. Understand, when you raise your hand up, I've already raised my hand. This got on my heart this week, beyond this week. It's been boiling in my soul to come and preach to us this morning about this war. Anybody else? Pastor, I should have raised my hand. Pray for me. Something that you said helped me today or blessed me or convicted me. Pray for me. Anybody that should have raised a hand that didn't. All right, God bless you. Now, is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know this matter of going to heaven. It's not settled for me. It's not done. I don't know. I'm confused. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you slip your hand? I won't come to just pray for you. I just ask, and we don't call your name. Just God bless you. I appreciate that. Somebody else. I don't know about this matter of going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somebody else. If you raised your hand just now, would you look at me just for a minute? Just the one that raised his hand. Just raise your head and look at me. The most important thing in life is knowing for sure that you're going to heaven someday, that you've been saved. These guys can take a Bible, any of them, show you how to be saved this morning while God's speaking to your heart. Heads are bowed, nobody's looking. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning? Would you do that? Just walk right down here and we'll show you how to be saved if you want to come. I don't want to twist your arm, but if you'd like to, I know we could help you this morning in the Bible. God bless you, Brother Tom. We'll meet you there and talk with you in that aisle. God bless you. Somebody else this morning, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not going to twist your arm, but I want to give you the opportunity to come and trust Christ, the most important thing you'll ever do in life. I want you to know that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come today? Anybody like that? Or just say, pray for me. I'm not going to come, but I would let you pray for me. Anybody like that today? Anybody that's been saved and not baptized in deep water since you've been saved, pray for me, Pastor. I need to make that decision. All right, let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for the victory in Jesus. Help us in the war, I pray in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many hands were raised. I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart while the instruments play. You come this morning. Slip out. Spend some time at the altar before the Lord. This is war. This is war. Would you come today? Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. The prophecy of the war. the practicality of the war, the progress in the war. Friends, there's wins and losses. There's victories and defeats. Have you experienced one or the other recently? It doesn't guarantee the same next week. Would you come? The progress in the war. Do you have a loved one who's been taken captive? Don't give up on them. Got a friend taken captive? Don't give up on them. And finally, the prevailer of the war. We know that Jesus is the winner. We're on the right side. While we wait this morning, some are praying. Many hands were raised. I hope that you come this morning. Submit yourself to God. Begin it here. This is where it starts. It doesn't end here, but it starts here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you.